The Roundabout Theater Company in New York City is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, and we are highlighting its work this week. We were joined by Roundabout's artistic director, Todd Hames. That interview may be heard online at wamc.org/roundtable. The not-for-profit company produces work both on and off-Broadway. At its off-Broadway theater, the Laura Pels, Roundabout is currently presenting The Humans, a new play by Stephen Karam. Directed by Joe Mantello, the show has announced a move from off to on-Broadway next spring, with its current ensemble cast intact. In the play, we join the Blakes, a solid Scranton family, as they celebrate Thanksgiving in their youngest daughter's apartment in New York City. The family dynamic is strained and real. Karam's writing is crisp, emotional, flip, and funny. The matriarch and patriarch of the family are played by Jane Houdyshell and Reed Birney, respectively. Reed Birney is an actor of great range and dedication, evidenced by his 2006 Obie Award for Sustained Excellence in Performance and his 2011 Special Drama Desk Award, honoring his career as an actor. He plays Representative-turned-Vice President Donald Blythe on the Netflix hit House of Cards. He has more than 20 off-Broadway credits, and his Broadway credits include Roundabout's 2013 revival of Picnic and last year's Casa Valentina by Harvey Fierstein. Reed Birney, welcome to the Roundtable.
Great to be here.
So I want to start with something kind of specific, and hopefully you're able to talk about it. When I saw The Humans, I marveled repeatedly, and since seeing it, have thought of it a number of times. You are so comfortable on stage. Do you feel as comfortable as it seems like you feel, and how long did it take to get that comfortable on the stage?
Thank you for saying that, because that's actually something that I work very hard to do and feel tells a big story, not just in this play, but in every play. I feel like the interesting thing for an audience is to see a real person on stage, and so the more real I can be, the better I feel like the story is being told. And I think one of the things about The Humans is that we all are very much in that same play. Everybody sort of is just being alive on stage, which is fantastic and unusual, because lots of times we're used to seeing big acting in plays, and there's not big acting, there's just real acting. How long did it take? It takes a while always to sort of chip away and to realize that you can do less. I think our first impulse as actors lots of time is to not trust that we can just be on stage and just be. And so we feel like we've got to show that we're listening and have a response to everything. And I think if you notice people in real life, lots of times they just sit and just listen.
And look at their phones.
And look at their phones. You got to look at your phone.
How does the director help you realize you can do less?
Well, a good director, and our director, Joe Mantello, is a genius. He will actually say, do less. Be simpler. Just relax. He very much appreciates this kind of theater, too. And so he is a great pair of eyes to tell us to knock it off.
The characters are so realistic. The family dynamics are so realistic, which is a tribute to the writing, of course, the directing, and the cast. And I found myself, as a relatively still young-ish adult, looking at the daughters and thinking, oh, they're so rude to their parents. Ding, hopefully don't be that rude to your parents.
Right.
And then I imagine that other people, depending on their age range in the audience, relate to and pull out different things like that. Have you experience that as you communicate with audiences, if you run into them after the show, that different people, depending on their demographics, pull out different points?
Yes, of course. I think one of the things that's so thrilling about The Humans is that because everybody seems so real, lots of times people will have a response as if they are real people. And so they'll say, I didn't like the daughter. Not saying she acted it beautifully, because one of our daughters, the baby, is kind of a brat. She's a little spoiled, and she's kind of mean to her mother. How many daughters do you know that are mean to their mothers? And how many mothers do you know that are mean to their daughters? They have that weird competition thing going on. And I think one of the things that's so thrilling about Sarah Steele as this daughter, I find her so charming and so charismatic, but she has no problem being that brat. She doesn't try to apologize. Lots of times actors will be like, I don't want to be unlikable, so I'll soft pedal the bratty stuff. I find her brattiness, for lack of a better word, so real, because it's also incredibly clear how much she loves her mother. So it's very skillful writing on Stephen Karam's part.
How do you approach the character when you first got the script? You read through it, presumably, and then what happens from there?
I've had this part for about a year, so I've had a long time to think on it and work on it. And, you know, you do all different kinds of things. You find out about Scranton, where we're from. And I was planning a trip to Scranton and ran out of time, which is weird in that I had a year and wasn't able to make it, and it's not that far away.
You're a busy guy.
I'm a busy guy. And then an actor does a lot of observing, you know. My guy's the head of maintenance at a Catholic school, and so you sort of watch the world around you. One of the things about living in New York is you get to see people from all over the place and all different kinds of socioeconomic strata. You know, you just sort of observe and put it all into the computer and then let it take care of itself.
The show is moving to Broadway with the cast intact. When that news comes to you, when you hear that, when you learn that, how does that feel?
It's still a little mind-blowing, I have to say, because it's very, very unusual for something to move as quickly as we're going to move it. We're going to open just a couple of weeks after we close off-Broadway. Usually plays will be optioned, and then it'll be a season or two later. Clyburn Park, which was so wonderful at Playwrights Horizons, took a couple of years to get on to Broadway. So the miracle of the humans is that a brilliant, brilliant producer, Scott Rudin, came to our first Wednesday matinee, and the show was still very in liquid form. It was hardly gelled yet, and he called and said, I want to move the show. They said, don't you want to wait for the New York Times review? And he said, no, I'm going to move it. Thrilling. So the way we found out was opening night, we were finished the performance and we were about to go to the party. And they called us all into the ladies' dressing room. And Joe Mantello said, we have a little Waiting for Guffman moment here. The show's moving to Broadway. And we couldn't believe it. It was out of a movie. It really was.
So you're following the Hamilton model.
Yes, we're following the Hamilton model.
You also, in addition to performing, you teach. What does that do for you? Why is that important to you?
When I teach, I've only been teaching for about 3 or 4 years, and one of the things I find thrilling about teaching is that in having to articulate for young actors what I believe good acting is, it helps me be a better actor, because I just have to really be clear. I talk a lot in my class about fear being the enemy. There's no place for fear on stage. In an ideal world, there's no place for fear anywhere, but I say you can be as scared as you want in your dressing room, but you really can't be scared on stage. I also think that acting is not that mysterious or precious. I think it's really the exact same thing we did when we were 5 and we played in the sandbox, and I think it's just really good pretending, and that somewhere along the line, as we grow up and develop armor, people tell us to stop showing off or to sit down or don't be an idiot, and we become self-conscious. And I think that in acting class, it's really about finding a way to move past that self-consciousness and get back to the purity of when you were playing in the sandbox. You were completely alive. You were completely that person. You never thought you were a princess, but you were fully committed. And if somebody came in and said, there's a monster coming, you went with it. You know, there was no like pulling out of it. So I think that's what we want to be as actors. We want to be as alive as we were in the sandbox.
You are a part of the golden age of web television. You're on House of Cards. How did that project come to you, and what has that meant to your career, to your acting? Not that you've never performed for television before, but this one is quite big.
Well, it's the most exciting film thing that I've ever been involved in. I just auditioned for it in season 1. it was a two episode character when I auditioned for it. Nobody said, hold on, he's going to come back and turn into the Vice President of the United States. Just, I was only on the first two episodes. And I don't believe my name was ever mentioned again in season one. And so they called in season two and said, they want you back for an episode. I thought, great, why? and then it was that amazing episode where I was trapped in the office with Frank Underwood and the anthrax scare. And it was really like a beautiful one-act play. It was really gorgeous writing by Laura Eason. And James Foley was our director. And it was as exciting film work as I think I could ever hope to have. It was just great. And coming up in season four, which should come on in February, I have a very nice big storyline. So it's really exciting. What has it done for my career? I think people recognize me a little bit more than they would have because I've just only done downtown plays. So, you know, very few people would recognize me from my downtown plays.
But that's been okay to get recognized? Nobody's been ridiculous?
No, because I'm not that famous, and I'm always still a little startled when I'm recognized, honestly. I was getting into the subway after the show last week, and four Argentinians surrounded me and were staring at me like I was in the zoo. They recognized me from House of Cards and Blacklist, my two big shows this year, and I thought, well, what do you know? That's mind-blowing.
Did they grab selfies with you?
Yes, big selfie. We had a couple selfies. But mostly the way it manifests itself is people on the subway will look at me and say, do I know you? Where you know, or do you live on my block or something? I don't think they necessarily say, oh, you're the guy from House of Cards.
You are a little bit of a showbiz family. How does that work? How is that?
It's crazy. My wife, Connie Shulman, is Yoga Jones on Orange is the New Black, and both our kids are actors.
So you're a Netflix family, too.
We are very grateful to Netflix at our house. Yes, we love Netflix. It is crazy that we're on those two big shows. Our 16-year-old daughter just did an episode of Chicago Med, and our 19-year-old son is acting as well. And it's, you know, the printer is constantly printing out sides for auditions. It's all show business all the time at our house.
How did the kids come to it on their own?
They did come to it on their own, and I'm a little surprised that they did, just because for a good part of their life, you know, my career has really only been in full gear in the last 6 or 7 years. Before that, it was many, many, many years of struggle, really decades of struggle. So they saw Daddy sad a lot. So I would have thought that that would have turned them off to show business, but it doesn't seem to have. I will say they work very hard and they take it very seriously and they're pretty good. So nobody could talk me out of it. And I think if you really are bitten by the bug, nobody can.
I would like you to, if you don't mind, expand on that. Getting bitten by the bug, what about it made you pursue acting while you struggled?
Well, I was that freakish little kid who at 5 knew that he wanted to be an actor. So I really have spent my whole life moving in that direction. I went to Boston University for a couple of years and dropped out after sophomore year because I was just, I got to get going on this. And I had a fair amount of success initially. I did my first Broadway play when I was 22 and my first movie with Arthur Penn, Four Friends, when I was 26. And then it just got pretty ordinary after that. And it was very painful. It's very painful to feel that nobody's buying what you're selling. And that really did go on for about 30 years. And you start to feel like you're in an abusive relationship, that you're devoted to something that treats you badly. There were a couple of times I tried to leave. I even went to a career counselor at one point in my, I would have been my early 40s probably. And after 3 months, she said, I've got bad news for you. You're an actor.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
You poor thing.
And so I came to the realization, I think, that for better or for worse, I am an actor. The big dream didn't come true. And that's okay. You know, the big dream about being a big movie star and stuff didn't come true. It's all right. I'm perfectly happy with the wonderful place that my career is in now. And why does somebody want to be an actor? I do not know. It is a great, great mystery. I've thought about it a lot, needless to say, and maybe there's some crazy cry for attention, some weird arrested development thing. When I'm having a rough time or a bad day, you know, it seems like an idiotic thing to do. I'm 61 years old. What am I jumping around pretending to be other people for? That seems really silly. But then somebody will stop you after the show and tell you how important what you did was to them and how moved they were by what the story you were telling or just what your work means to them. And at that point, I feel I should just get over myself and just do the work and stop worrying about all that stuff. Because we really don't know as artists how we impact on other people. We just can't know.
As a audience member, I speak on behalf of other audience members and say thank you for keeping it up. It's fantastic to see you. You're amazing in The Humans, and I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for this job. It's a beautiful, beautiful play and one of the best parts I've ever had. I can't quite believe my good luck.
Reed Birney plays Eric Blake in the Roundabout Theater Company production of The Humans. The off-Broadway run is scheduled through January 3rd, and the show will move to Broadway next year. Roundabout is celebrating its 50th anniversary season. We continue to highlight their work when we are joined by Gavin Creel, who will be in Roundabout's revival of the Masteroff Harnick Bach musical, She Loves Me. To learn more about Roundabout, visit roundabouttheater.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.